The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 3, 1990 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 31, Text 29.
Thereby creates enmity towards similarly lusty people. With the growth of the body,
the
living entity,
in order to vanquish his soul,
increases his false prestige, and anger, thereby creates enmity. Towards similarly lusty people. Report. In Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 36th verse, Arjuna inquired from Krishna about the cause of a living being's lust. It is said that a living entity is eternal, and as such qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. And what is the reason that he falls prey to the material and commits so many sinful activities by the influence of the material energy? In reply to this question, Lord Krishna said that it is lust which causes a living entity to glide down from his exalted position to the abominable condition of material existence. This lust circumstantially changes into anger. Both lust and anger stand on the platform of immortal passion. Lust is actually the product of immortal passion, and in the absence of satisfaction of lust, the same desire transforms into anger on the platform of ignorance. When ignorance covers the soul, it is the source of its degradation to the most abominable condition of hellish life. To raise oneself from hellish life to the highest position of spiritual understanding is to transform this lust into love of Krishna. Sri Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya, said, Kama Krishna Karmarpana. Kama Krishna Karmarpane. Due to our lust, we want many things for our sense gratification. But the same lust can be transformed in a purified way so that we want everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anger also can be utilized towards a person who is atheistic, or who is envious of the personality of Godhead. As we have fallen in this material existence because of our lust and anger, the same two qualities can be utilized for the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness. And one can elevate himself again to his former pure spiritual position. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore recommended that because in material existence we have so many objects of sense gratification which we need for the maintenance of the body, we should use all of them without attachment for the purpose of satisfying the senses of Krishna. That is actual renunciation. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 29, chapter 31, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the movements of a living entity. 3rd December 1994, Kuala Lumpur, Sahadena Manina Vartamani Namanjuna Karoti Vigraham Kami Kamish Antayat Chatmana. With the growth of the body, the living entity, in order to vanquish his soul, increases his false prestige and anger, thereby creates enmity towards similarly lusty people. in the continuation of the teachings of Kapila Muni, the movements of the living entities, and Sankhya, the nature of the conditioning of the living entities is detailed in this chapter. What is causing a living entity to move from one body to the next? Why the pure living entity, this pure soul, is kept in conditioned life? This is being explained here in detail. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna revealed that lust was the cause of our conditioning in material life. So here this further in detail. Srila Prabhupada portrayed the modern society as a society in the West which is more like a jungle. And the competitors are like tigers or lions. Very heavy competition, survival of the fittest. It's not unusual for people to become so frustrated that they commit suicide. When the stock market crashed in America a couple of years ago, some people jumped out of the window. They lost $150 million in 1 hour, so they jumped 2 months. Like this, it's very heavy tension, very strong lust. So this also compels people to break the law. Recently, some of these big multimillionaires were arrested by the securities agency for breaking the regulations, insiders, trading, and various kinds of stock market regulations, where they are misusing information for taking advantage, making more money. So, this thing, and even these big people in public places, the mayor of Washington, D.C. was arrested for taking cocaine, drugs. Of course, here in Malaysia, there's a death sentence for carrying trafficking. In America, the mayors of the city are usually getting caught, convicted, and running for re-election. So, strong desires, lusty desires, are keeping the people in this bodily concept of life. So, Prabhupada states that we need to take this tendency and purify it, engage it in the service of Krishna. The strong desire to satisfy, gratify the senses can be purified. And he marked here in italics. But instead of wanting everything for our senses, if we want everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of God, Srila Prabhupada wanted to have all the nicest facilities for Krishna. Just like for Mayapur, he said, you can have an airport, you should have ships going, launches going between Calcutta and Mayapur, riverboats, should have all the nicest facilities. In fact, during the time of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur, he had an automobile. Not everybody has an automobile. But at that time, this was maybe only the second or third automobile, first by any private citizen in the whole of Eastern India, apart from maybe the Viceroy of India and England, a few other big British rulers. He was the only one to have a car. So when he drove down the street, everybody was like, wow, automobile. Iron horse, something they all come and see. So he was using that for preaching. Actually, when some of his sannyasis were taking the car and going down to the drugstore or something, then he wrote a letter which said, ordering that for preaching you can use the vehicle while you preach, but if you want to just go down to the market to get something, then walk. It's for your own self. Because at that time, the vehicle was rare, so he wanted that we should, that something valuable like that, it was a really valuable thing, not like now, you can't live without a vehicle practically. Everything is so spread out. Actually, Prabhupada mentioned that in modern society, we think this is a luxury, because we have a vehicle, but actually, before everything was compact, People live together with their family members. All the things are within walking distance. Now, you just want to meet a friend, you have to drive 10, 20 miles. You want to do some shopping and you go another. So everything is spread out and you go breakneck speeds where any moment a little bit of inattentiveness and you could have an accident. So actually life becomes more filled with tension, more dangerous because of expansion of motor passion. So what we think is the advancement of civilization is actually putting us into many more hardships. To counteract the hardships, so we have different machines. So, but then to maintain those machines is another hardship, and so on. So things become very complicated unnecessarily. But for sense gratification, this just becomes a headache. But when we use them for Krishna, we use everything and everything, anything and everything for Krishna, then it becomes a source of our deliverance. So the devotee wants the best for Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada mentioned that there's some yogis or some professional lecturers and gurus in India. They refuse to touch money. They won't touch money. So they make a big, actually they collect lakhs of rupees every night. They have checking account, they sign the checks, but they won't touch the money. Officially they don't touch money. The secretary is taking money. So Srila Prabhupada said that I don't have any problem. I can take money with two hands. I'm not using it for myself, I'm only using it for Krishna. He wanted to do so many things for Krishna, but if a devotee, even if someone gives him $1 million, the next day again he'll be a beggar. He'll spend it all for Krishna. Building nice temple, building nice facility for spreading Krishna consciousness. Mahir Kualam, we want to build a nice facility for the Lord, for propagating His message. So, here in a country where 15-16% of the population is basically Hindu, there shouldn't be any difficulty in convincing them of the importance of spreading the Vedic culture of devotion in its pure form, in a form which can reach the masses. It's sometimes difficult to convince people to give for renting a house, but to give for constructing this kind of a public facility, which will be their asset of their community. As well as not only the Hindus, but any member of the society would be welcome. So naturally, this has a wide appeal to many people in this particular society. It's our duty to convince people of the need to engage energy in spiritual pursuits. People are generally convinced that we need material social welfare work. And so they're putting their energy in that. But they don't realize that if an adequate spiritual purification of society is not performed, that people will go on creating bad karmas, go on creating this type of material situation. So there's no end to the social welfare work that has to be done. So long as people are eating meat, there's going to be suffering various kinds of cancer and other diseases due to the poisons in the blood. As long as people are overwhelmed by lust and engaging in illicit sexual activities, there's going to be venereal diseases and AIDS and so many other things of that nature. As long as people are ignorant of their eternal self, their real spiritual purpose in life, then when they feel all the anxieties of this fast culture with the ready availability of heroin and other drugs from the Golden Triangle, Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand, then the people of Malaysia, the poor people, they'll take shelter of this intoxication. So, of course, I'm preaching here sometime in Chinese chat, they said, well, I can follow the principles, okay, vegetarian, no problem, this is Texas, I can handle that, and intoxication, all right, but no gambling, that's impossible. It's a very big habit amongst the Chinese community to gamble. So, in different countries and different places, people are attached to different illicit activities. In America, maybe gambling is the easiest for them to give up. and meat eating, intoxication is more difficult to say. But maybe in other countries, people are more attached to gambling. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Kali is depending on these four activities for his strength. If you stop these four activities, then the influence of Kali is curtailed, and then it's possible to establish a society based on higher spiritual values. So generally people in this part of the world appreciate, although they may not be able to practice, at least they appreciate that this type of high, pure standard of living is something very laudable, something very important. I know that in Thailand, where there are 200,000 monks, when the people hear about our principles, immediately they appreciate that this is the highest principle of personal behavior. Unfortunately, they admit that very few people, even the monks, are able to follow. So that's why they appreciate Krishna consciousness as imbibing the highest principles, not only of Vedic culture, but even Buddhistic culture. So there's a very wide appeal if we can simply project our own image, what we actually stand for, purest standard of living. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to make that sacrifice of not compromising our principles. There's so many Mayavadi groups who say Jagat Mithya, Brahma Satya, the world is false, only the Absolute is pure, eternal, real. But in practicality, they simply open hospitals, open clinics, open different material welfare activities. They talk about the world being false, but they simply engage in worldly activities. Srila Prabhupada said that in the world, let there be one organization which is based on pure spiritual principles. One organization that people can know that this organization is uncompromisingly pure spiritual in nature. And although initially there may be many materialistically attached people who will not appreciate that, but as our books are distributed, as we properly explain to them what is the real purpose of life, what is the nature of life, those who are intelligent should be brought to the real appreciation. Of course, many pure spiritual activities appear like welfare activities. Our Food for Life program, our counseling to people to get them off of these influences of Kali, get them rehabilitated from drugs and from other bad habits. Many of our members had bad habits before, but we're able to help them to get cured. Some came without any bad habits, but many people. But those who take Srila Prabhupada's cure, about 99%, they get good results. They follow completely, 100%. There's always a factor that not everyone will follow strictly. In this way, Srila Prabhupada was very concerned that we maintain the purity of our presentation and the purity of our image. He said that the Krishna conscious people should be known as very honest, straightforward people. He entrusted the BBC as watchdogs to see that the image of ISKCON is pure. Unfortunately, some impure images crept in, which hopefully have been eradicated from ISKCON. Here we're facing now difficulty that those persons have left ISKCON, they have engaged in various kinds of unsavory activities, and those are being projected as a kind of an image of ISKCON. Well, the image of ISKCON does not only not stand for these things, but stands for the opposite. So, this is a trick of Kali. Parikshit Maharaj made a little mistake putting the snake on the shoulder of the sage who is in meditation, being overwhelmed by hunger and thirst, thinking that the sage was just fighting him and ignoring him. When the son of the sage heard that, then he cursed Parikshit to die. He said, what type of kshatriya is this on? When the father heard, he didn't take it seriously at all. He threw the snake off his shoulder. It's a good snake, it's a prank. Even in this modern society, if you were to do something like that, put a dead lizard on somebody's lap, and he would go to the police, it would not be a major crime. You'd probably have to pay a fine. Not considered assault or something. It's certainly an offense, but a kind of a prank, not a serious thing. Certainly, Parikshit Maharaj felt really out of place for doing such a foolish thing. At the time, he had become overwhelmed, showing how, in extreme circumstances, even a great person can become affected. Of course, in this circumstance, We know that Parikshit was brought under by the direct will of Providence, will of Krishna, to enable the Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken. Gave, however, Kali Yuga an opportunity to enter into this planet. And over a little offense, Parikshit was given the death sentence. So Srila Prabhupada explained that we should be very careful about bad images, that Lord Chaitanya said that even a small defect on the part of a person in the realms order of life, people pick it up like a white sheep having a little black spot on it, everyone will see the black spot. If you're wearing a black, if you have a black sheep and there's a black spot, nobody will see it. If you have a white sheet, everyone will pick it up. So those who are practicing pure spiritual standards, even a small defect will be very prominent. So therefore, the preachers have to be very careful. So due to laxity or carelessness, so some black spots came up and they create this bad image in the past. So now, even though some of these things were done outside of this time, or when we found them, we tried to correct them, and they couldn't be corrected, we asked those people to disenfranchise them, excommunicate them, remove them from this kind. Still the stigma is being pushed forward by some journalists. This simply illustrates, like by exception, the rule shows the exception, or the exception shows the rule, rather. That by having a negative effect, it shows actually how ISKCON is meant for something totally different. And people know the devotees, when it's properly presented to them, then they get convinced. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was preaching Krishna consciousness personally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he told his followers to avoid this type of sense gratification. And his Shikshastaka, he also espoused complete dedication to Krishna in a non-desire of the attractive features of material sense gratification. Nādhanam, nājanam, nāsundari, kavidanvādhagadīśakāvayo, janvam janvanishvare, vata-bhakti-aiti-bhītari. We want no wealth, no, don't have desire for accumulating a lot of wealth. Nājanam, no desire for beautiful women, no desire for many material followers. And to these material followers, sometimes we see devotees who have the musician bug. They want to be famous musicians. When they become famous musicians, they think that time they'll be able to preach to their followers. But actually, modern fans, material followers, they are not so flexible. We heard of George Harrison one time was playing Indian music and trying to present a more spiritual type of music, and his followers are drawing shoes at him, telling him to play some rock and roll. You don't want to hear all that music. We personally had Bala Subramanian, Jesu Das, these big South Indian singers, at our program in Madras. So Jesu Das was playing Purandara, Kannada, Karnataka, classical music. And his fans started shouting out to sing cinema songs, yelling out the names of the different cinema songs. But because it was a benefit charity, he just told them, I've come here to sing this type of classical spiritual music. If you don't like it, get out. But he's that type of person, he's not scared. And the people in India aren't so heavy they didn't show up throwing his shoes at Oh, yeah. He walk out, he throw shoes, it's forgiven. So, still, they were demanding things. They weren't happy. And the next, this Bala Subramanian, he surrendered. He just started singing a few cinema songs. So. Our Janmashtami gala could not maintain its pure moods of it. Because everybody wanted to have sense gratification. Once they pay money, they want the gratification. We do a free drama and free program. The people, they use and they appreciate. Once they're paid, they want what they get paid for. So, in this way, these big, famous people, they're actually at the mercy of their fans. Their material followers are all with some kind of gratification. We see in India how the followers want from their political leaders many gratifications. So the relationship is actually not kind of pure devotional relationship at all. It's very much a relationship of mutual gratification. Recently, I went to Santipur, the birthplace of the ashram rather of Advaita Goswami, for the release of one movie on Advaita Acharya. And one of the famous Bengali actors who featured in over 200 feature films, Mr. Kali Banerjee, famous in film and screen, he was going to, he's an old man, he's going to play Advaita Goswami, quite a stately gentleman called. So he was very well known, so thousands, they didn't advertise it, they didn't tell anybody, but somehow the word got out. So hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands or more Indians, the word got out. Cinema, actor, star, here, you know, they all just appeared out of nowhere. But you're trying to have like a formal clap stick opening, you know, clap the stick. So the head of the ashram came up to speak something, but what's happening is that when the actress, the star, who's going to play Nanmada Sachi, Vishnu Priya, she came out, you know, then in the back all the little hooligans are, you know, whistling and, you know, catcalling, and then people standing up and jumping over each other to take a glimpse of the starlet and the actor, and then it's just chaos. Instead of the kind of formal religious, they thought to go to the holy place, have a formal blessing from Advaita Goswami, you know. Still, all the village people, you know, wow, movie stars! So then, they're like going wild. So they had to take the stars in the back room when it was all locked up in the cage. So they could, people are clamoring, trying to get police, they're taking their stick and beating them off, pow, pow, beating them out of the hand. The police would come, just show your face for a minute and they come out now. Goggle eye looking, you know, oh. Then they quiet for a minute, then they let them go back in again. Then again, after a few minutes, again, mad thing, ah, screaming, pulling all over, police beating them off. So then that ashram guru, he was commenting, what a life they have. You know? He says, I don't admit it. They're crazy followers, and if they get a chance to start ripping at their clothes and everything and take a souvenir, they get, sometimes people get killed. It's very dangerous. Oh yeah, it's very dangerous. In the West, one of these rock and roll women singers was molested by the fans. They got wild with it. It's not, it's completely magical. So it's very dangerous. They have to have high security because people can do anything and they're going to get into some kind of a frenzy. So the material followers, like, they're dangerous, they're out of control, completely in the mode of passion, ignorance. So who wants it? What's the use of that kind of follower? The people are mad for it. So Lord Chaitanya Kadhi said, na janam, na sundari. Even life after life, I simply want to engage in your devotional service. So the Hussein Shah, Emperor of Bengal, he could appreciate that Lord Chaitanya had many followers. Lord Chaitanya, I don't want any followers. But obviously, Lord Chaitanya had many followers. Millions, hundreds of thousands. But the Hussein Shah, Emperor, he could understand that Lord Chaitanya's followers are of a different kind. Lord Chaitanya is not desiring any material followers. But people are running after him to get spiritual knowledge, spiritual blessings. So one time when Lord Chaitanya was just a few miles from the capital of the empire, at Ram Keli, when he met Rupert Sanatan Goswami, that time the emperor, naturally his security told him that his intelligence, that Lord Chaitanya was there. He asked his ministers, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So the ministers were very shy to speak because they thought maybe the Hussein Shah would tell how popular he is. He may get envious and want to kill him or something, he's a Mughal ruler. So they said, oh, he's a fakir, he's one of these mandikins going around, doesn't have home, anything, no material possessions. And then the Hussein Shah said, well, no, I don't know. So they asked the Hussein Shah, well, who do you think he is? You're the emperor, you're the representative of God on earth to protect the people, so if you ask yourself, you can say better who he is. So the emperor said, I think that he's not different from Allah, not different from Hora. everyone was shocked. How could a Mohammedan ruler say that Lord Chaitanya was not different from Allah? Then they said, "My Lord, how is it that you come to this conclusion?" He said, "Well, all of you, why you're working for me? You're my material followers, so why you're working for me? Why my generals are working for me? Why my governors are working for me? It's because I'm paying all of you. If I didn't give you money, who would be working for me? I think if I didn't give any material gratification to my wife, she won't also leave me. She'll leave me as well, my queen. Everybody is working because I'm paying them, because I have the treasury of the king paying your money. If I didn't have that, who would be working? Who's going to work for me free? It might be the biggest emperor, but nobody wants to work for me free. They all want something. But Lord Chaitanya has nothing, I agree, has nothing, but he has, must have, therefore, the spiritual potency of God. Because why everybody is going after him, and even big ministers, big people of society, lords, they're surrendering unto him and working for him, serving him without any remuneration, completely free of all gratification, giving up the whole world. Unless he has the power of God, it's not possible. And they're satisfied. They're staying with him. The Lord Chaitanya had demonstrated that by presenting Krishna consciousness purely, there was actually no lack of followers. There was no lack of public support. And subsequently, although similarly, the six Goswamis, they lived in Vrindavan, they had no material facility, whatever. They're just living with copin and little quad. But the biggest temples in India, in northern India, still today, although some of them were knocked down by the invaders, are those in Vrindavan. But they're built by Nindigans who had nothing but a little copin and a little cloth and a water jug and a deity of Shaligram, Shiva, Krishna, a deity of Krishna. Living under a different tree every night, but they could build the biggest temples in northern India, which are standing over 500 years today. Because we wanted spiritual type of followers, followers who can understand the importance of engaging their energy in Krishna service. But those people will actually be gratified. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati convinced one gentleman to give his entire wealth. He gave everything to the last penny and took Babaji. He was a widower and no responsibility, he gave everything. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave him Babaji. Whatever he fulfilled, whatever his material duties, and he gave everything remaining, and he's the one who's singly built to birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Temple, Yoga Pitta Temple. So all the previous acharyas show that somebody has wealth, they give that in the service of Krishna. That's glorious. But the devotees, they remain in the same simple lifestyle. They don't need to increase their own obligation, liabilities. But for Krishna, they can do something wonderful. Here in Malaysia is a country where people are, it's an advanced country, what they call it, newly industrialized nation, NIC, newly industrialized country, one of the richest countries in Southeast Asia, Here there's such fabulous mosques. It would be nice to have one very functional preaching temple, if not gigantic, at least something very functional, which can be a very good example, like a practical service-oriented facility where people can assemble and practice Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Have a meditation. People in this country, the Chinese people, like meditation. So we can introduce, just like amongst martial arts, you hear that Tai Chi is considered like the best. You should know that amongst all meditations, amongst all yogas, Bhakti Yoga is the best, the Tai Chi of yoga. Javanam Jagya Javrusni. Amongst all type of meditation, all type of sacrifice, japa is the best. Meditating on the name of Krishna. Maybe we can introduce that concept in a according to time, place, and circumstance, you have to present that people can relate with you. The people begin to chant, then they can quickly get the result. They can quickly appreciate it. Somehow or another, we have to get them to chant. That's why I should have brought the books are important. If they read the books, then they immediately can understand the meaning of chanting. And if they don't have a taste for chanting, if they have a taste for prasadam, prasadam will also give them a taste for chanting by purifying their senses. So the process is very complete. So we can see here in this verse how the spirit is vanquished by false prestige, anger, lust. But the same thing, if we use it in Krishna's service, then we can liberate the soul from this. Shurubhāra ki,
jāyā.
Bhakti-yoga ki,
jāyā.
Nāma-saṅkīrtana-mahājīvi ki,
jāyā.